Hello. In this video, I want to talk about beliefs and values, but we're going to focus mostly on values because beliefs and values are what drive people's behavior, along with perception and the way that they understand the world. But we'll look at that in a little bit more detail in a moment. But values are really important. Understanding somebody else's beliefs and values is going to help you to understand what drives their behavior. It's going to help you to influence their behavior. And it's going to help you to influence the results that you get from a kind of win-win perspective. So we're going to talk about what values are. We're going to talk about where they come from. We're going to talk about how to understand and elicit other people's values and your own. And we'll discuss how you can actually use those to change that information to help change people's behavior and the results that they get. So let's start with a reminder, if you've seen it before, of the NLP communication model, which will help us to understand the importance of beliefs and values. So here we are. This is the NLP communication model. And as I'm sure you know, we respond to an external event. So things that happen outside of us, we take the information in, we process it, we make sense of it, we decide, albeit at an unconscious level, how we're going to react to that external information, and that will influence our behavior. So we start off with all of that available information, and then that information gets filtered. And the senses are the first filter on that information. So, we can only see, hear, touch, taste, or smell the world around us, but also those senses are finite. And so, we can't see ultraviolet light, we can't see infrared light, we only hear certain frequencies of sound. So the senses filter out some of that information, in fact, quite a lot. And what the filters do is they delete, they distort, and they generalize. So the senses primarily delete and distort information. And so what we end up with is a small amount, 30% of information that gets through into our mind to help us form our map of the world around us. And of course, as if the senses weren't enough, then we have things like beliefs and values, which act as filters on that information. So what we believe about the world helps us to generalize, delete, and distort the information. Also, what's important to us in terms of values. So values I describe as a belief with an element of importance. So you might believe something, but it doesn't affect you at all. You might believe something that's really, really important to you, that belief that that is true. So values are things that we put an element of importance on. Amongst those filters, we've also got personal criteria, and we've got meta programs, we've got experience, but I want to just focus primarily on beliefs and values here. So if you believe, let's say, that a certain faction of society will behave in a particular way, then that will help you delete any information to the contrary and will help you distort the information that you get so that you reinforce those beliefs that you've already got. And of course, that becomes a generalization because at the end of any kind of decision and belief about the world, or value, you're going to get that element of generalization, which says all or none or some or never. That information gets deleted again, so we end up with a very small amount, so that 3% of information, which is our internal representation of the world. That's our perception, that's our map of the world that's based on that information that's been filtered through the senses, beliefs, values, experience, and so on. So that deleted information, distorted information, and the generalization becomes our map of the world. That internal representation affects our state. So it affects the way that we feel psychologically, emotionally, which in turn affects physiology. And physiology also affects state. So if you've ever been ill, that affects the way that you feel. And the way that you feel about a situation affects the way that you represent it. There is a thing that's known as mood memory, which essentially states that we can only really remember other times that we felt the way that we feel right now. So that filters that memory to a large extent based on state. So the three of these, perception, state, physiology, are very, very closely intertwined. So let's assume that you have a belief that you are really bad at presenting. And, you know, you wouldn't be alone in that. Research in America, the second thing that people were most afraid of was death. And the thing that most people were afraid of was public speaking. So if you've got a belief that you're really bad about that, you feel anxious about whenever you've got to present, then, you know, presenting might not be very important to you. You might value that very low. But let's imagine that even with those set of beliefs, you find yourself in a job where you have to go and present information to a group of people. So that then becomes the external event. So standing in front of a group of people, an audience, becomes an external event. You filter that information in, you know, you look at their body language, that's 100% of the information that's available. And how you filter that depends on your beliefs, your values, your experience, and so on. So if you believe that you're really bad at presenting, the chances are you're going to distort and generalize the body language that you see in front of you that looks negative. You'll delete the sort of supportive body language that you see, or you'll distort that into being negative as well. So your internal representation of the experience of the external event is negative. You know, that these people aren't interested in what I have to say. That affects your state. So you feel anxious, and anxiety affects your physiology. So we have that fight or flight response, that physiological response, because your beliefs have driven the way that you perceive all of the external information. So then when you have to actually present information, that physiology, the information that you're going to present, goes back through those filters, and in particular, your beliefs and values. So it will, the beliefs and values will filter the information that you're about to deliver. And so that in turn will affect your behavior. And so if you're feeling anxious, if you believe you're not very good at this, if it's not very important to you, the way that you deliver that information is going to be very different than if you feel totally confident and totally engaged with what you're saying, and you believe that it's really important, and you value the information that you're delivering, and you value the presentation that you're actually giving. So your behavior gets results. So if you behave in a way that reinforces the beliefs that you're not very good at presenting, then the results are going to reinforce that external event. So the results, you know, people are going to disengage from the way that you're presenting because the way that you're delivering that information seems really negative. And so the whole process reinforces the beliefs and the values that you already hold about not being very good at this and it not being very important. So beliefs and values are really important. And understanding beliefs, when you articulate the beliefs, then, you know, you may well find that those beliefs aren't real. And so the whole point about being aware of your beliefs and values is to be able to challenge them, and challenge them in a way that can potentially undermine the belief. So if you believe a certain thing and then you find evidence to the contrary, either with people giving you feedback or you doing your own research, that undermines the belief that you've got, so you no longer believe it. And if you no longer believe it, the way that you filter the information changes, your perception of the world changes, so therefore your state and your physiology change, and the way that you interact with that experience is different. So understanding beliefs and values are really, really important. And most of us, our core beliefs and our core values are buried so deeply in our unconscious that we're not aware of them most of the time. So being able to get those beliefs and values out and onto the table and look at them becomes really important. So let's initially explore where these values come from. So I want to introduce you to Massey's developmental stages. So these may be something that you've come across before, or they may be new to you. And if they're new to you, then great. If you've come across them before, then it's a helpful reinforcement to what I'm talking about. And what Massey says is that essentially we go through different stages of psychological development as we grow. And the first stage is what's called the imprinting stage. So this is 0 to 7 years. And this is where most of your core values and core beliefs are formed. This is where they come from. And obviously, in the first 7 years of your life, you spend more of your time with your family than you do with anyone else. So a lot of your core beliefs and values are kind of perpetuated through the family line, because that's the way that we experience them. We don't challenge those beliefs and values very much in our sort of 0 to 7 years. The next stage of that is called the modeling stage. And this is where 7 to 14, this is where you start to look outside of your initial family unit and you start to look at role models. You start to look at other people who you can kind of put on a pedestal and you want to be like. And this is why in this sort of stage, you see a lot of kids putting posters up on the wall of their role models, and role models can be from anywhere. But it's whoever they interact with and they value what these people do and what they deliver, which is why, you know, sports heroes, music stars and so on are very often the posters that people put on the wall. From my point of view as a parent, I stopped being a role model as soon as my children went to school and, you know, they started to believe what the teacher said rather than what I said. And that kind of came back. But the important thing here is that, you know, the effort you put in the first 7 years of a child's life influenced their role, their core values, their core beliefs and their core behaviours as they grow older. Because once they get to seven and they start looking outside of that unit at role models, you may be a role model as well, but they'll start to look at other ones as well to do a comparison. The next stage, 14 to 21 years, is called the socialization stage. So this is where a lot of children's and adults, young adults' beliefs are formed and values are formed from their friends, their peers, their colleagues, their initial kind of education experience and so on. And this is where you start to see teenagers in particular change in their behavior to try different styles on, to try and find themselves, because they're being bombarded by a different set of beliefs and values than they've had from earlier on in their lives. And apart from all the hormonal changes and so on, then the way that they interact with the world around them affects their beliefs and their values. And then we've got 21 to 35 years, which is called the business persona. So this is the stage where you're starting to develop the way that you interact in a working environment, in an adult environment. So how you, the sort of experiences you have when you work in terms of the beliefs and values of the organizations, particularly the first organizations that you join, have a big impact on the way you think about work, what you believe about the importance of work and the way people interact. And, you know, in terms of valuing things like certain behaviors, like leadership, management behaviors. So these are the things that you pick up in the first sort of job or the first couple of jobs that you go into. So the point about this is that at various stages in our lives, we go through different developmental stages where we pick up beliefs and values that start to sort of interact and form our persona as we become adults. So we're very influenced by the first 7 years in the imprinting stage because we tend not to challenge those. As we get older, we might challenge beliefs and values, but even so, it's easier to follow the beliefs and values that we've got because it's an unconscious process. You know, unless we actually start to physically challenge those beliefs and values that we've got, then we're going to carry on doing what we've always done. And there's no bad thing in that. It's just a reality. And if the point about this, of course, is that if we want to get something different in terms of the way that we interact or help other people to interact differently, then what we need to do is to do something different. And to do something different, we need to understand where all of this came from and understand what the beliefs and values are, because it's only when we understand those values that we can really make a difference. And so beliefs are beliefs. Beliefs are, they're true or they're not true. Something is true or it isn't true. So they're kind of quite black and white. There aren't particularly shades of beliefs. But in terms of values, important, there are lots of different areas of importance or different values of importance. So you may well have a hierarchy of values. So it may be that one thing is more important to you than another. So maybe family is more important to you than work, or maybe work's more important than family. Maybe having fun is more important than working hard or earning money. So you end up with a kind of hierarchy. And the hierarchy may be the same in every area of our life, or it may be different, because we've got different areas of our lives. And so the values impact differently in different areas. So it may be that in one area of your life, money is really important. In another area, it isn't. It may be that when you're in your leisure time, actually doing nothing is really important to you. And so there could be a conflict there where actually being at work, if your number one value is doing nothing, then there could be a problem. So understanding a hierarchy of values in different areas is important. So let's have a look at those different areas. So here's a model that looks at different values areas in our lives. And we're thinking about this, the different areas in our lives, but we're thinking about these particularly from the importance of values. So, you know, let's just have a look at six areas of our lives. And the first one I'm going to talk about is career. And you'll have a set of values about career. So things that are important to you about career. And it may be money, it may be promotion, it may be enjoyment, it may be creativity, whatever that is, some things are going to be more important to you than others, because every job is going to contain elements of creativity, of interaction, of money, of time, and all of those sort of things. So it's about what's most important. So let's imagine that creativity is the most important thing to you in terms of career. The chances are that you're not going to earn a lot of money in that. So if money is important to you as well, then there becomes a conflict between the two. And understanding which is the highest priority can help you determine what sort of job you go for. We've also got family. What's important to you about family? So there may be a conflict between what's important to you about family and what's important to you about career, for instance. We've also got health and fitness. We've got relationships outside of family. We've got personal development, and we've got spirituality. And so the spirituality element is kind of everything else that's there beyond family, health and fitness, relationship and personal development. So spirit is around that kind of resourceful state that helps you to grow and develop in all of the other areas. I'm not talking about religion there, and we can have discussions around spirituality for quite some time. But really, whatever it means to you is what it means to you. And that's the important bit. So if we think about those different areas of our lives, then understanding the values in each of those and the beliefs, but fundamentally the values and which is the hierarchy, which is most important, can help you to balance all of those different areas of your lives. You may have seen the Wheel of Life before, and there are lots of different versions of Wheels of Life. This isn't quite Wheel of Life. This is just looking at different areas in your lives to give you the understanding that what's important to us in those different areas may be different. So, for example, in a career, money might be number one importance. Money probably isn't the most important value in terms of health and fitness, unless you determine that you need to be healthy and fit to earn money. So there may be core values that transcend all of these areas that underpin all of those things. And they may not. So looking at those different areas in our lives, we can kind of think about one at a time and think, right, okay, so what's important to me about career? What's important to me about family? What's important, and so on. And the way to elicit these values is to ask that question. What's important to me about my job? What else is important about a job? What else is important? Write each one down on a post-it and stick it on the wall. So you'll get an idea of all of those different values for each of those areas, or one of them, particularly if one of them you're struggling with. So let's say that you're having difficulty with your job. It's not challenging you. You're not enjoying it. You're not getting out of it what you want to get out of it. Well, ask yourself, well, what's important to me about my career? And then you can elicit all of those different values on post-its, stick them all on a wall somewhere. That won't give you the hierarchy, essentially. What it will give you is what comes to your mind first. And for a lot of people, money is the most important thing, or not the most important thing, but the first important thing that comes out. So what you then need to do is to do a kind of hierarchy and use what we call a paired comparison to do that. So compare each one with the one above it and move them around and until you end up with that overall hierarchy. The best way to do this is to actually have a go at it, but ask yourself the question, is this one more important than this one? Rather than say, oh yeah, well, that's the most important, and I'm just going to move it to the top. because it may not be. So in terms of eliciting values, the important thing here is to just ask the question, what's important to me? Or if you're coaching somebody, asking them what's important to you about family. And just what else is important, what else is important. And keep going until you've run out of ideas. Because what the point about this is that what comes out first is the sort of most obvious, sometimes the most trivial, but not necessarily the number one top priority. It may be, but you don't know that until you've kind of written them all down and you've moved them around to decide which is the most important. Because once you've got that hierarchy of values, that gives you understanding. It gives you the choice to look at the job you're doing, if you're thinking about career, compared against your values, and ask yourself the question, does this job fit my values? Do I still get the top five, top three, top one of my my values through this job? And if not, then what would make that work for me? So like with everything else in NLP, it's about taking what's unconscious and making it conscious. Because it's only when it's conscious that you can have control over it, that you can influence it, that you can change it. And understanding values can help you improve in different areas of your life. It can help you help other people improve in other areas of the life of your life. And it's a key way of understanding how other people do things well, so that you can model the way that they do things to improve the way that you do it. So good luck with thinking about your values. Good luck with eliciting values. And it might well be interesting to see whether what really is your key value in one area is what you thought it was, because sometimes it isn't.